Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here. 844-843-6879 is the number. Mets still lead the Reds 2-1, bottom seven, as the Reds have a second and third and two out. Phillies are still up 4-0 on the Nats. Diamondbacks up 5-2 on the Braves as they go to the bottom of the fifth. White Sox and the Royals are tied at 1 in the bottom of the sixth. Royals have runners on the corners and two outs. Rangers, as we said, still lead the Astros 5-0 on the strength of that three-run bomb by Adolis Garcia. And the Brewers lead the Mariners 2-0. That's going to the bottom of the fourth now. And the Red Sox and the Angels will start soon. That's about as good as I could say. 35 minutes from now, right up in that alley. The Mavericks have come out flying against the Warriors tonight. 29-15 late in the first quarter. No Luka tonight either. And they're getting it done. I'm going to guess that Kyrie's doing the heavy lifting then. That'd be my guess. He's got 9 and PJ Washington with 11. Oof, how about that? Magic still down 9 with 6.5 minutes to go to the Hornets. That would be an awful loss for them. The Knicks are down 17 in Chicago, so they wouldn't even be capitalizing if they were able to do. And Milwaukee, once again, just they stink. They just absolutely stink. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here. Carver sans Lisi. No Joe. Out on assignment today. So we get Joe back next week. And we have a lot going on as we get ready for the Final Four this weekend, the Masters next week. We have a lot of baseball this weekend, a lot of NBA. There's only a couple weeks left in these regular seasons. The NHL regular season is less than 2 weeks away from its completion, and the NBA is not too far behind that. Last day of the NBA regular season is Sunday the 14th. So actually, the NBA's only got... they only got about a week left then, right? They got about a week and 2 days left. So the NBA actually ends before the NHL regular season. So figure that out. Now, I know the NBA now squeezes everything in because they have to play those their play-in tournament that week. But the NHL starts about 3.5 weeks before the NBA, usually like October 3rd, 4th, right in that area. And then the NBA usually starts like... now, like October 25th, 26th, and they a couple days before them. So we're into the final, less than 2 weeks left in both regular seasons, and we get to the good part of the year, which is that nice April, May. Baseball's here, NHL and NBA playoffs, really good golf tournaments, Final Four will be in the rearview mirror, and then we start getting pumped up for football again. We got the draft in less than 3 weeks as well, so a very busy, busy time. All right, Final Four this weekend in Glendale. Of course, coming up on Saturday, you got NC State and Purdue, Alabama and UConn. We have broke this thing down left, right, and center all week long. We might as well give it to you one more time here since it's the last time we're with you before these teams finally get it on. The first game is going to be NC State and Purdue just after 6 o'clock East on Saturday night. Purdue, as I'm sitting here now, still sitting at 9.5. 146.5 for the total. The NC State run has been absolutely ridiculous. They've won 9 games in a row. They were not going to be in the tournament, as we have well documented here, as everyone has over the last few weeks. This guy Keating was going to get fired, basically. And now they're sitting here in the Final Four. A real Cinderella story without maybe the Cinderella background to it, you know, in terms of the name. And, you know, when we think of Cinderella Final Four teams in the past, I think that we naturally think of teams like George Mason, VCU, Illinois, Chicago, Loyola, Chicago, teams like that that have gotten there. But this NC State team is absolutely in that pile. And I thought Matt Painter said something very, very interesting during all the media nonsense on Thursday, which was, you know, we're not playing the 17-14 team. This is not who we're playing. That team just doesn't exist anymore. We're playing an undefeated team. We're playing a team that's 9-0. They are a completely different team during this 9-game run than the team that was 17-14 going into the ACC tournament. Purdue obviously has the best player on the floor, that being Zach Edey, who's been outstanding. And I think that that's obviously it's where the game hinges. I've kind of had that little look about Purdue for the last couple of weeks, even though I've bashed them for years. They just had a different feel to them this year. And Edey seems like he's on a mission to prove a lot of people wrong. I think NC State can stay within this number. But in order for them to stay in this number, I think there's a few things that have to happen. I think Horn has to play the game of his life, and he's got to hit a ton of shots. Because I think they're going to have a hard time getting the big fella rolling against Edey down low. I think it's going to be very difficult for Burns down there. And his game is offense. Remember that. He's not. He doesn't get a lot of boards. He's not a great defender. He's there to bring them energy on the offensive side. And I think he might have a very difficult time doing that with Edey. And I think the other thing that's going to be very difficult for him is we've seen how many times Zach Edey goes to the line, not just in this tournament, but in the last 2 years. And I think if Burns goes down there in the first 5 minutes of that game and starts banging with him, he got to be real careful. Because if he's on the bench for 13 minutes in the first half because he's got 2 or 3 fouls, that ain't going to help NC State at all. In fact, that's going to turn this game into a blowout. So I think Burns has to be very careful. He is their juice. He is their energy. He cannot pick up a bunch of early fouls against Edey and be sitting on that bench for Keats. He got to be playing. He can stay on the floor. I think NC State can stay within this number. I don't think they're going to win the game. I think Purdue's going to win. I really have no feel for the total. I think that we always talk about correlating these things. I guess if you're thinking NC State can stay within this number, you probably want the game under. I think if Purdue obviously smashes them, I mean, there's a chance the game gets over, obviously. But I think Burns is the key, and just staying on the floor is the key. Horn's the guy that's got to score for the Wolfpack. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159. Great to have you with us here. Carver, Sands, Lisi, Joe out on assignment. He'll be back next week. We're here with you getting ready for the Final Four and a few other things. We're going to get some Hit Per Bell UFC picks for Saturday night as well. Here, we'll do that next segment. So I just to finish it off, I'm going to roll NC State with a 9.5 in this game. The run's been just incredible, and I don't think that they're just going to go down flat. I'm nervous about the foul situation with Burns, but I don't think they're going to go down flat against Purdue in this game, and they'll give them a push. Don't think they'll win, but I think they'll give them a push. So the 9.5 with NC State for me. In the second game, as we've well documented, at least here on the, you know, obviously here on this show, me and Joe have several tickets of Alabama at several different prices, anywhere from 18-1 to 23-22-1, 23-1. Joe's got as high as 35-1. So we got a lot of Alabama gas here on Saturday night. And obviously watching UConn play, I don't feel great about it, to be quite honest with you. How could you with the way that UConn has played? But for me personally, I'm just going to stand on that. I'm not going to, you know, go lay 11.5 with UConn on one side. Now, look, if, you know, when you have as much investment as me and Joe do in Alabama, you obviously can't play UConn at minus 820 in, you know, to hedge anything. Now, if Alabama gets up in this game and it's the second half or something like that, I monitor it live, there's a chance I'll be going in on UConn. But for now, I'm just going to roll with what we have cooking with Alabama and hope that they can hang with them. And I think the only way they can hang with them is obviously they have to have they got to shoot the lights out from three. You see the shot charts with Alabama. You've watched them play these games. They have a system that they play, and that is they shoot the three or they shoot a layup or a dunk. They do not shoot jumpers, mid-range jumpers. They don't do that. But when you play that way and you live by the three, you die by the three, you got to hit. Because if you're missing them against this team, you're going to be down 25 in a heartbeat. So Alabama's got it. And I actually really, and me and Joe went kind of back and forth on this the other day, I don't think Alabama should go into this game looking to run and gun and play, as we always say, fast and loose. I actually wouldn't play that way. I think I want to limit possessions and make my threes and make every three count, because I think that that's the way to get them and hope you can get a couple of stops. You know, Alabama's D was awful in the regular season. It hasn't been as awful in the tournament. I don't know if they've got the size down low. You know, I don't know if they've got enough juice down low to stop clinging. But I know that the only way Alabama wins this game is if they're unconscious from behind the arc. And they're going to shoot a billion threes no matter what. They got to hit a ton of them. And they got to hit some of them early. Because if they start 2-for-15 from three, they're going to get buried in this game. It's a lot of pressure, but that's how teams that score, you know, a team that scores 90 points a game, you want to beat the big bad wolf, you're going to have to shoot the lights out. So I'll be rooting for Alabama on Saturday night. Don't feel great about it. And I think the game is, I think the game's an under. I think it's under 161.5. And so that's kind of where I am with it. I think the game's going to be an under. I think that Alabama's going to try to not make it a frantic pace like they have in some other games. But I think UConn's going to win. So as much as I want Alabama to win, I think UConn is going to win. You get UConn and Purdue on Monday night, which would be a hell of a game. And they have a look ahead for that, don't they? They do. UConn minus 5.5 and 148.5. I'd take the 5.5 with Purdue if that's our game on Monday. I would absolutely take that. I'd have a little fun with that and go after. Ah, man, they have next year's national championship up. They're already putting up next year's numbers. Duke 12-1. Favorite. UConn 18-1 next year. Go get it now. They must have just put this up today or yesterday. I had not seen this up on the board for next year's 2025 national champion. Wow, some big numbers out here. Big numbers. This is when you get them, though. This is when you got to get your UConn number now, 18-1. Hurley's building it there, man. Trust me, UConn, this ain't going to be a two-year thing for UConn. They're going to be hanging around. So UConn and Purdue, I think, on Monday night. And we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Matias, who do you got in these two games on Saturday night?
I got Purdue. I think Edie, like we always talk about, I think Burns will pick up some early fouls that'll put NC State behind the eight ball, and it'll be up to Horn to shoot the lights out in order for them to beat Purdue. Or, you know, I think the perfect disaster for Purdue is if Edie gets in foul trouble. You know, I wonder who the refs will blow the whistle on, Burns or Edie. And as far as Alabama and UConn, I think it's just so hard to beat UConn right now. They're long, they're athletic, they play top-notch defense. They got guys who could score from all five positions pretty much. I'd love to see Purdue play UConn in the finals because you'd also like to see UConn's big man counter Purdue's big man in Edie. I think UConn has a big guy that could slow Edie down. I'm not saying he's better than Edie, but it's just a body that nobody's really been able to throw out there, you know, that could throw a body like that outside of UConn. You know what I mean? I think it'll make a great final.
I think it would be a fun game if we get it. I think if that's the game on Monday night, I think there's a lot of juice to that game. Like I think Alabama, Purdue, it would be fun, but I think that UConn and Purdue, two of the three best teams the entire year, you get them in a final, I think it'd be great. Like I think if NC State upsets Purdue and UConn plays them, I think UConn would probably smash them. But I mean, hey, it's hard to say that about NC State. If they end up beating Purdue as well, that's hard to say.
It's crazy because now we're talking like Purdue is an automatic in, right? Oh, Edie and, you know, their point guard that – his name just slipped my mind, but they have a great point guard who dishes the ball very well. He's a leader on that team. And he sprained his knee in the Big Ten tournament, and they thought that it was a torn knee right there. And then he comes back, they lose the game to Wisconsin, and here they make this run. But let's not act like Purdue, you know, doesn't drop the ball in this tournament. You know, are they going to drop the ball now in the Final Four? It's always crazy to me when you see these teams celebrate like they've won the national championship when they've gotten to the Final Four.
They let out a lot because they
haven't won anything. I know it's a big accomplishment to get to the Final Four, but I wonder what team has an emotional letdown, you know what I mean? Do you think NC State finally has an emotional letdown after winning the ACC tournament and now making this huge run in the NCAA tournament, them cutting down the nets as if they've won the biggest game of their life? They haven't done that yet. So I wonder what, you know, what psychological effect does that take on which team, you know what I mean?
I agree. They've talked so much about, and look, but that on the other side of the coin though, Matias, I feel like there's been some laser focus from them as well. Yes, they let a lot out by making this Final Four, but I think that they can lock in and they can take care of business here this weekend. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 159. Carver sans Lisi here. Joe out on assignment. He'll be back with us next week. So we gave you a little Final Four there. There is a UFC event on Saturday night. I mean, when isn't there, to be quite honest with you? And I guess this card is so bunk. I mean, it has to be at the Apex. It just has to be. There's no way they'd let people pay real money to see this fight.
Of course it's at the Apex.
I mean, it's got to be at the Apex.
It's a fun card, though.
They've already lost a fight. Now, that fight they lost wasn't on the main card, right? The girl who couldn't make weight, that wasn't on the main
card. No, Cynthia Calvillo was definitely not on the main card. But you know what? That fight wasn't going to be that entertaining anyways. So, you know, it just gets us closer to the good fights.
All right, Matias, let me give you a chance here. So let's see who we have in the main. So this Chris Curtis versus Brendan Allen fight, that's the main event?
It is the main event, man, and it's hard to ignore Chris Curtis, who's already TKO'd Brendan Allen in the past. And we're not talking like 6-5 years ago. We're just talking about 2 years ago. You know, a lot of people think that Brendan Allen has made a lot of improvements in there with his wrestling, with his grappling, with his striking. But at the same time, you know, Chris Curtis has been in this game for a long time, and he's not 45 years old and, you know, getting knocked out time after time. Like, I think Chris Curtis understands how to beat Brendan Allen, and he understands that he has to keep this fight standing. And if he keeps the fight standing, I don't see why Chris Curtis won't go in there and beat up Brendan Allen again. You know, he does have the striking advantage.
So Curtis is plus 168 in this fight, and Allen's minus two bills. Is there any other heavy dogs on this one?
Hey, your boy's on there, man. Your
Ignacio. Ignacio.
Your boy Charlie Campbell, Carver. Your boy Charlie Campbell. Show.
Double C? Charlie Campbell?
He's in it, baby. I think it's a fight of the night, too. Charlie really? Campbell against Trevor Peak. Yeah, you know, it's a fun fight. It's a scary fight to pick. I think that there's a live dog opportunity here with Trevor Peak, but let's not get it twisted. If I'm betting Charlie Campbell to win this fight, I'm picking Charlie Campbell to win this fight in round one via TKO, because that's, you know, that's when I think Peak will be most
in
vulnerable.
Round one.
Yeah, in round one. You know, I think Charlie Campbell has heavy hands, and if he does connect and hurt Peak early, I think it's going to be in round one where he wins. You know, I have a gut feeling that if he does win, he's going to win in TKO fashion in round one, and it'll be a great little walk off for him. But if it goes farther than round one, he doesn't get the knockout. You know, Trevor Peak might be the play here because of his durability and his ability to just keep going forward. You know, this guy has a gas tank, but he also doesn't have a lot of great head movement. You know, he's gonna get hit, and it's hard for me to ignore the hands of Charlie Campbell. Charlie Campbell is a knockout artist with heavy hands, so you know, Trevor Peak is gonna have to fight a smart fight in order to survive against Charlie Campbell. You know, he just can't be a punching bag.
Wow. You got Ignacio on here against Chigasos. What is this fight, Matias? Jeez, Ignacio. You got Alexander.
Oh, you're talking about my Chilean.
My
Chilean brother right there. Bahamondes. Right. Ignacio Bahamondes. Oh, let's go.
Bahamondes. There it is. That's what we were looking for. All right. Who's on? Let me see who's on the prelims if I know any of these names.
I don't
Court
think so.
Court McGee plus 220. I don't know. Victor Hugo. I feel like I've heard of him before. Maybe.
Hey, you know what? There's a good play that we could have where I know he's a pretty good favorite, but he should be bigger, and that's Johnny Walker's brother. He's taking
Johnny Walker, the Scotch Johnny Walker?
Johnny Walker, the light heavyweight Johnny Walker, the Brazilian. I think that his brother gets the job done at the UFC, man. Walter, his name is Walter Walker at minus 250. I couldn't remember his first name. Walter Walker. He's taking on Brzeski. And Brzeski, you know, this guy's been knocked out. He's coming off a big knockout. I think he hasn't taken enough of a break to get back in there. And even looking at the weigh-ins today and looking at the way he looked and looking at, you know, the face-ups, there's something that doesn't tell me that this guy's confident going into the octagon. And when I look at, you know, Walker and what he's done in the past, we're seeing a guy wants to make a stellar debut in the UFC, you know, knockout after knockout. You know that he's been hitting it heavy in the gym. I've seen his videos with Johnny Walker. He looks like he's ready to go in there and destroy. So I'm really looking forward to see Walter Walker in there against Lucas Brzeski, man. I think that's a good play, man.
Now let me ask you this quickly, and then we'll move on to some other things. Because this card this weekend's awful. It is what it is. It's a fight. Am I looking at this right? Is next week this big 300? Is that next week or is this 299?
Yes, sir. Yes,
what
sir.
What is this?
Next
this
week
is 300.
UFC
next
300.
Week? So this is the one that's supposed to be like the greatest card of all time that we don't know who any of these people are. Now I mean like the common person like myself who's not locked in with it like you are, but I will tell you, I'm looking at the card here for next week, which is their monster event, UFC 300. Now, I already seen you taking the task for how much they're charging for this fight, right? Isn't they charging more than usual for this? Is this not...
What a headache.
Is that not what they normally charge, what they're charging for 300?
No, it's eight. They're moving their prices up to $80. I'm pretty sure their prices were set at
just for this fight or for permanent?
No, for all fights going forward.
Yeah, it's amazing. Pigs at the trough, Matias, is what it is. Pigs at the trough. Now, I will tell you. I've seen, we already discussed this Pereira guy. He's the main event, this Alex Pereira, and he's the favorite. I know Zhi Wang, or Zhang Wei, right? She's minus 390. I've heard of her. She's probably going to destroy whoever she's fighting. She's really good. Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway. Have they fought before? I feel like they fought before. Is that a rematch?
No, they haven't fought before. They've had similar opponents, but they've never fought. And this is my main event, man. This is what a fight.
I've heard of this Oliveira guy. Charles Oliveira. He's a dog, huh? Isn't that funny?
He is a dog, man. But Armin Tsarukyan, you know, this guy's been coming up, and, you know, I don't think the UFC brought him up fast enough. I don't, you know, he's not very marketable, but he's an amazing mixed martial artist.
Well,
I think
they got he's a lot one of the only guys. That. Don't worry. He's amazing, a lot of guys, man, who aren't marketable.
Yeah, exactly. It's tough, man. But this guy, he's an excellent fighter, and he's been an excellent fighter ever since he stepped into the cage. You know, if this guy had a Conor McGregor personality, everybody would know him by now. Just like, I think that, honestly, twice he's lost in the UFC to Gamrot and to Makhachev, and I thought that the Gamrot fight that was a close split decision type of thing. Like, it could have gone any way, and Gamrot's amazing. And to Makhachev, he fought Makhachev back in 2019. Makhachev is a lightweight champion of the world, and I don't think anybody outside of Alexander Volkanovski has even gave him a competition. And I'll tell you what, Tsarukyan pushed Makhachev the whole entire way. It's one of Makhachev's biggest fights, you know, just toughest fights he's ever had to fight. And this guy hasn't really taken his foot off the gas pedal. He's been the same exact fighter for the last 6 to 7 years, and he's very deserving of a title shot. And he may very well be, you know, the next lightweight champion of the world. Like, this guy's very good. I think Charles is in trouble this coming Saturday.
Hey, now this, I absolutely know this girl, and I love her. Why is she not on the main? Kayla Harrison's not on the main card?
Is this her first fight in the UFC?
Why? Yeah, what is that? UFC. Is she the main event of the prelims? She's got to be the main event of the prelims then.
She's not even the main event of the prelims.
8:35. But then what time does the pay-per-view start? 9 or 10 East?
I think the pay-per-view starts at 7 p.m. if I'm not mistaken, but let me double check that.
For the 80, are they actually giving you not just 2 hours or 3 hours what they normally give you? They're probably giving you more. Either way, Kayla Harrison is a name. Now, I love Kayla Harrison because I come from a family of judo, believe it or not, Matias. So,
wow, okay, love, there you go. Yeah, absolutely.
Kayla Harrison win the gold in judo at the Olympics. So I've always followed her, and I know that she was destroying all those tomato cans in the PFL, and now she's this is her first UFC fight, right? This is the first time she's fighting in the UFC?
It is her first UFC fight, and they gave her old Holly for her first fight.
She's got a lot of miles, Holly, but she's good. A lot of miles she's got in her.
And you don't get more fights for the pay-per-view. Your pay-per-view is your basic five-fight card, and the first fight of the pay-per-view is Penn State's own Bo Nickel taking on Cody Brundage. Crazy that they give so much respect to Bo Nickel. They love this guy, man. They want to keep this guy happy.
So this Qatar and this Rakic fight and the home Harrison, that's all in the prelims.
Yeah, you know what? Jiří Procházka and Alexander Rakic
too, huh? Jessica Andre.
Yeah,
and Cody Garbrandt. Sterling. They actually gave you a decent prelim for the 300 as opposed to the actual main card. The prelim, I actually know some of these names.
You know what, Carver? Every fight on this fight card could be a main event for these fight nights for Las Vegas. You know what I mean? For all these Apex cards, every one of these fights is a main event.
Wow, how about this, Matias? I know you're watching this. Wow, what a turn of events we have here. So there you go, UFC next week. So 300 next week. You're going to have to – by next Friday, Matias, we need the three best bets for 300. You got a week to work on your three best plays because me and Joe are going to be on you for the best plays for that big card.
It's going to be hard for me to keep it a three, baby. Let's go.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us. Carver Sam Lisi, as Joe's out on assignment here. All right. I'm sorry, Matthias. I'm trying to... What happened here? What is going on here? Here we go. Now I got it in. I was trying to get something in life. By the way, Matthias, I thought that it would be good if we let everybody know that... hope you took Carolina down a goal going into the third period against Washington on Friday night.
Let's go, baby. The system keeps on prevailing. Let's go.
That was a good one. That was a good one. Real good one.
You know what? They wanted to scare us off, Carver. Remember when it was 2-0?
System play.
Was only, it was crazy. They were only offering plus 185 when they were down 2-0, and then they make it 2-1, and the price goes only to plus 165 for you. And you know they didn't even move the price at two goals. They didn't even move it after it was 2-1. It's crazy.
It is. That was a good. We love that system, man. You get the heavy favorite down a goal going into the third period, always a fun play, especially when they were dominating in there at home. It's just such a great way to play it. So nice job by you, and we both hit that one, which was good. Now I just need the rest of it to go with it as well, which would be nice.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad we took out the Red Sox. I got a bad feeling about that now because the Angels home opener, you know what I mean? Angels home opener. I wonder how many fans are going to show up to watch them play. It's going to be 50 degrees over here in L.A. tonight because the weather's been cold all day, Carver. Everybody has their snow jackets on over here in 50-degree weather. So start making fun of the West Coast people.
Start making fun of the West Coast people. Where the West Coast people... how were they reacting to how nuts all the New York people went with the earthquake on Friday?
Let me tell you, man, the first thing I thought of when I saw all the stuff on the internet about the earthquake in the East Coast, first and foremost, you know, I'm glad nothing crazy happened because earthquakes are scary. I've lived through a couple. That's the most important thing. But once I started
saying, you know, especially in, I would have to guess, Hawaii as well, right?
No, you know, I've been lucky since 94. You know, the big one in 94 was the one that really shook me up when I was a little kid. That broke down houses, and it was crazy. The pool next door even got cracked right down the middle. You know, that was a wild thing in 94. And when I was in high school, you know, back in 2006, there was a small one, you know, when I was upstairs, which shook the whole house, dropped some things. You know, but seeing in the East Coast what happened today, you know, it wasn't a massive one by any means, but it shook your house. I'm sure it maybe move some things along the counters and stuff like that. And my first thought was Will Smith in Independence Day when he wakes up and he's going to the bathroom and he looks outside his window and he says, "Ugh, a little shaken," and they running.
Yeah, no, I obviously we're not used to that stuff over here. It was very, you know, very surprising. That's for sure.
When I look at the videos, man, it seems like when you don't have earthquakes over there and something starts to shake, I don't think your natural reaction is, "Oh my gosh, we're having an earthquake." I think it's, "Is everything okay?" You know what I mean? Did somebody get in a major car accident outside of my house? Did a big tree fall on the house? You know, along those lines, I don't think you think earthquake right away.
It's not the first thing you think of. Definitely not. Because it's like you said, it's just never happens. Never happens here. I think the last one was 2011, I think I saw in the news, somewhere around there. And I don't even think that was as big as the one that...
But it's the biggest one that you guys have had in like 100 years, right?
Yeah. Well, you combine that with the... what do they got coming up here on Monday? The eclipse or whatever it is that's happening on Monday over here.
Well, not only that, didn't a lightning bolt hit the Statue of Liberty yesterday as well?
There's a lot of strange things going on, Matthias. A lot of strange things.
There is, man. There is a lot of strange things happening. That major earthquake over in Asia, you know, that was a 7-point something. Like, that's the one that you got to really worry about. You know, those big ones that really shake everything and break buildings. Like, that's a scary one.
Those are out. You're right about that. Very, very scary stuff, that's for sure. All right, let me give you, let me get into a few things here for Saturday as well. We gave you the Final Four, we gave you the UFC. There's a, obviously everybody's playing in baseball on Saturday, and you have a couple of good matchups. When are the Yankees playing? The Yankees are playing a night game on Saturday. That must be a TV game. Toronto and the Yankees, Clark Schmidt and Kevin Gausman Saturday night. Yankees minus 120. Of course, they lost their home opener on Friday afternoon to the Jays, and they looked pretty bad offensively doing it. So you have that going on. The Dodgers are still in Chicago against the Cubs. Cubs beat them on Friday afternoon as they beat up Miller and... they held on late. The Dodgers actually had a rally in the ninth inning, and they couldn't get it done. Yamamoto will make his third start of the season at Wrigley against Wicks, and the Dodgers are minus 184. Road favorites with a flat eight total. Ball's been flying out of Chicago the last few days. I'd play the over if it was me. The Pirates lost their home opener to the Orioles. They're going to have Brady Falter go against Wells on Saturday afternoon, minus 132 for the Orioles. The Phillies will have Ranger Danger Suarez against Cole Irvin and the Nats. Phillies minus 174 for that. 8.5 is the total there. Mets will have, Mets did win in Cincinnati on Friday night. Severino against Martinez Saturday afternoon. Reds minus 116 and a big fat 9 in that one. Some big totals on Saturday. You got, let's see here. Look at all these fat totals that we have on Saturday. Start at the beginning. Anything 9 or more. You got the 9 in the Mets and the Reds. You got a 10 for the Astros and the Rangers, which is John Gray and J.P. France. That should be 10. Got an 8.5 with the Royals and the White Sox. You got a 9 with the Diamondbacks and the Braves, and that's with Max Fried going. You got an 11 as always at Coors between the Rays and the Rockies. They smashed that on Friday afternoon. You got an 8.5 Red Sox and Angels. So you got a couple big totals for Saturday. In terms of NBA for Sunday. Let me get the full schedule here because sometimes they don't give me everything on the one site that you look at. Sunday NBA. So there'll be 1 week to go. I mean Saturday. So 1 week to go on Sunday. Cavs are in LA against the Lakers. The Cavs, only 4 games, which is good. They cleared the decks a little bit for the Final Four on Saturday, which is nice to see. The Pistons are in Brooklyn against the Nets. That's a friends and family game. You only go if your friends or family with the players. When there's a week left and both teams are playing for absolutely nothing, that's what we call that. The Sixers are in Memphis against the Grizzlies. Hawks are in Denver against the Nuggets. Now, the Sixers, with that win over the Heat the other night, crawled to within a half of them to get into the 7th spot, as that's going to be interesting over the last week. So only 4 games. Sunday NBA. Sunday is a huge slate. NBA. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 NBA games on Sunday. Any that matter or that are somewhat interesting. Man, a lot of no's on that list. The Knicks are at the Bucks. The Bucks are pathetic, by the way. Absolutely pathetic. So the Knicks, depending on what they do over here, they might be a game out of them by the time that happens. That'll be a big game for the Knicks. Jazz at the Warriors, Kings at the Nets, T-Wolves at the Lakers late night on Sunday. Both teams are going to need that game. That's probably the bet, and the Pelicans and the Suns. Look for that on Sunday. Booker has scored 50-plus against the Pelicans the last 3 times he's played against them. So the Booker number is probably going to be super high in that game. But for some reason, he loves lighting them up. And there's no NBA on Monday with the national championship game on Monday night. So that's good for by the NBA. They kind of cleared it on Saturday, only 4 games. No games at all on Monday. And then an absolute sprint. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just tons of games. Actually, they don't play any games on Saturday the 13th. and then everyone plays their last game of the year. So I didn't realize. I thought they had about another week and a half left in the NBA. They only have 1 week. And then we get into those play-in tournaments, which should be a lot of fun, especially in the West, where you're going to have some very big teams involved. As far as the hockey goes for Saturday, we obviously had some very huge results in the Eastern Conference on Friday night. So the Flyers did lose to the Sabres. The Red Wings lost to the Rangers. The Capitals lost to the Hurricanes. So all three of those teams that are in the mix in the East all lost. That moved the Islanders up to third in the Metro with 83 points. Flyers dropped down to the second wild card with 83. Washington still and Detroit both at 82. And the Penguins are at 81. Everyone is at 76 games played except the Flyers, who are at 77. And I doubt any of them are playing on Saturday. A few of them probably maybe with the back-to-back. The Flyers are playing. They're in Columbus against the Blue Jackets Saturday night. The Islanders are home for the Predators on Saturday night. And then other than that, that's it out of those teams that are in the mix. Red Wings will play the Sabres on Sunday afternoon. Caps will play the Senators on Sunday night. And that's it. So in terms of those teams that are fighting in the East for those last couple of spots, and that's with... we're almost at the end of the line there, too. What did we say the last day is? Actually, it's a week from Thursday is the last day in the NHL. So both the spring sports are almost there with that. So there you go. You're pretty much set up for the weekend with all of this stuff. We have a ton of great action between the Final Four, the hockey, and the hoops. And the UFC. So that's it. We are not together on Monday night. We'll have Bracket Central here on the grid with Ben, Kevin, and Coach are doing that on Monday night. Joe's part of the Bracket Central on Saturday night for the UConn and Alabama game. He'll be with KW. Ben and Coach will have the first game with NC State and Purdue. So we've got you covered here on Sports Grid. That is for sure. And also next week when we get back together, we will head down Magnolia Lane, the Masters, Augusta. It is here. It is time. Only one more ticket available. That's if whoever wins this weekend in San Antonio is not in the field with hopefully Akshay Bhatia is able to do and get himself in the field. But we'll have a fun week covering the Masters, that's for sure. Already a bunch of tickets we already have in. Some good numbers as well to go and get them at. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good to have you aboard here. There was one thing I forgot to bring up with you, Matias, before we get out of here, is I saw you going back and forth with KW about the draft stock of Bronny James as he now, I guess, is like 1 foot in, 1 foot out, like, which I don't mind these kids doing. They should find out if they'd actually get drafted or not, but... I've been very, me and Pharrell have both been on this for a long time. He needs to continue to get better as a player in college. He shouldn't be running to the draft, but unfortunately, I guess there's a 50% chance now that's going to happen.
If he was, you know, I think he's going to be a great player. But right now, if he's not getting minutes at USC, it's not because of his attitude. It's because
it just needs to get better. That's, first of all, he came off a... You got to remember this year with him as well. A pretty life-altering thing that happened to him with his heart. Like, I mean, it's not like, you know, that was a very serious situation that he had. And I get there's going to be for his long-term success, it just feels like he should play another year or two of college. I know that dad wants him to play with him in the NBA, and that might be great to have that moment, but you might be out of the league a year or two after that. Whereas you got a chance for some longer.
You're not getting better. That's the thing.
No.
If you're not getting minutes.
And he ain't gonna get minutes in the NBA. He's not gonna get minutes. Go to Duquesne where his buddy is. Be a star there. Get minutes. Play a lot. Be better off. All right, Matias, great job as always. We'll see you again. Enjoy the weekend. Tons of great stuff going on. Cash a whole bunch of tickets. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. See you then.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
Coda salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.